The traditional custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. Everyone's advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. Does any elected member wish to declare a potential conflict of interest in relation to any item on the agenda? Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, opportunity to apologise in this case last time, but Angus Crescent, my home Crescent, is listed as number 86 in the list on streetscaping. My estimate is I'll be 110 to 118 at the rate of treatments, but by the same token, it's there. So I register potential perceived.
Right. Thanks. Councillor Crossland?
Similar reason, Your Worship. My street is also on the streetscaping list. It's not actually on the list of the ones we're talking about tonight. And I think Councillor Gardner's underestimated. I think he'd be about 150 before our streets are on the list.
Well, thanks for that. Councillor Appleby?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I'll declare a perceived conflict of interest for the streetscape works. My brother lives on Diagonal Road, so I'll leave for that item.
Councillor Valescu.
Look, I just want to declare a perceived interest, possibly because my work in the ATO deals with volunteers within our organisation, helping people do their tax returns, and also with a library item, the services offered there. I don't have a direct impact on that, but I just note it. I don't know to what relevance it would be in this report, but I just thought err on the side of caution to bring it up.
It's extremely cautious. Thank you. Any more for any of the streets on the streetscape list? Councillor Hall?
Diagonal Road was mentioned. I too live on Diagonal Road, but I've been reliably informed that the plan works are a couple of miles away from where I live, so...
Oh, that's right, because it's only a segment of Diagonal Road, isn't it? Yeah. No, fair enough.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out. We don't need to record that necessarily. But I'll move on then. I ask for someone to move that the minutes of the last meeting be confirmed. That's moved. Councillor Westwood. Did you want to? No, it's not. No, he would not like to confirm the minutes. Councillor... any councillor? Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's unanimous. Thank you. We go to the adjourned items, City of Marion Volunteer Program. And for those who are interested, just to note that some progress is being made on a potential volunteer program to assist passengers being teamed up with learner drivers to get their hours. But there'll be a separate report coming to council, I anticipate, in the future. This is a pretty straightforward report, as it turns out, so in your hands. Councillor Hull to move.
Mr Mayor, this is a much better effort with this. It's more comprehensive, which is good. And timely, because it's National Volunteer Week this week.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland? All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. The Outdoor Swim Centre Master Plan, that's the name of the report that was brought to at least the previous council, and it has been moved and seconded. Just so you know, it was moved by Councillor Valescu and seconded by Councillor Pfeiffer, and no other speakers, I think. Sorry. Councillors Gard and Crossland moved the motion to adjourn. I guess I could always give them liberty to speak twice if they wanted to chip in. So, Councillor Valescu, you've already spoken, right? Did you want to vary your motion or something?
Yeah, with leave of the meeting, I would like to vary the motion to the recommendation that we have on page 34 of our agenda, and that would be the first one with the 4-dot points, as opposed to the second part of it, which is the 1-dot point. The only thing probably is removing item 3 about the CCTV, based on the discussion at the Infrastructure Committee. So it's really points 1, 2 and 4.
So 1, 2 and 4 is the motion that you wish to move if the leave of the meeting is granted, is that right?
Yes, Your Worship.
Could I float something here, and possibly a replacement number 3, and it is, see what you think, Councillor Valescu, refers to this project as a whole as the Marion Pool upgrade, the Marion Outdoor Pool upgrade.
Yes, that's an excellent suggestion, Your Worship.
That Council refers to this project as a whole as the Marion Outdoor Pool upgrade. The reason I have suggested that, and thank you, Councillor Valescu, for agreeing, that this is what people actually call it. People don't call it the swimming centre, they call it the Marion Outdoor Pool. And one of the principles I'm trying to encourage is that we call things what the community call them. And I'm also, quite frankly, steering away from the term master plan. It has connotations of wasted money in the past, and now that we have boiled down the original master plan for the pool into something very effective and desirable, I think that calling it the pool upgrade is much more appropriate. So first of all, I'll check if the seconder, Councillor Pfeiffer, agrees with that. Then is there leave of the meeting to incorporate that, as Councillor Blescu and I have outlined? Then it's now up for discussion. So it's been moved and seconded. Is there anyone speaking against, or Councillor Telfer?
Until to be undertaken, but take out the words of the dates. So notes of further reports will be presented. An allocation of funding to enable the remaining upgrades to be undertaken.
I'll just check with that if the mover and seconder would be happy with that to incorporate. Well, Councillor Telfer, would you be happy if the mover adopted such wording?
Yes, I would.
I'm just checking.
I guess when this comes for decision, if there is no time frame for us to consider the costings, would there be the scope? Would they be getting costings for 2 years' time, delivery over 50 years? I believe we do need to provide a time frame for the costings for the items. I think we need that direction. Maybe that's a question.
Yeah, I suppose my thinking, Councillor Valescu, is that we are authorising payment for detailed design and costing on various items, and one would, well, it's practically certain that will then come back to council, so that will sort of invite further action. So I'm not sure whether that whether the time frames add a lot in a way, but I would also like to seek the advice of staff on that.
Through the chair, the dates aren't absolutely required. When the reports come back, there'll be discussion on timing of the further works.
Up to you, Councillor Vescu, either way.
What? This is clear as to what dates we'll consider, and if Council wants to veer away from that, they can when the information comes forward. I think this runs a risk of actually running a few different dates. So, because
okay. That's fine. Let's treat it as an amendment. Is the amendment seconded to delete the reference to those two financial years? last call. If there's no call, I'll let the amendment lapse. It's seconded, Councillor Hull. No? All right. No, there was an if in there. Sorry if I didn't say that loudly enough. So there being no seconder, the amendment lapses, and now we continue if there's further debate. Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, I'd like to say how much I appreciate your intervention with this in terms of redefining what this is all about. It's interesting that back in 2014, the Messenger Press reported on this very issue and the pool and the amount of money spent on consultants and master plans. So it's gratifying to see somebody trying to address the issue. I'm glad Councillor Bilescu took out the other dot point. I'm glad we had the opportunity at the Infrastructure Committee to give it a good thrashing out. And essentially, members, what we're doing, particularly with the input of the independent member who contributed to the discussions, we're actually doing what we would do in our own homes. If we want a carport built, we would tender for that and get the contractor to design it, to actually submit the plans to the council and build it. And if we want to have a splash pad, that's exactly what they're going to do. If we want a new shop front, the shop fitters would come in and do that. And, you know, it's not that complicated. And I'm not sure why we have to actually spend so much money on consultants for what I say, borrow your watch to tell you the time. And if we can get away from that and have more money spent on infrastructure rather than on consultants to tell us the bleeding obvious, I think that will go well into the future, not only with the pool, but many other projects as well. Some, I admit, we have to do that section 42, is it? 42? Sometimes we've got to do that. I understand that. But when these are bite-sized pieces we can do over a period of time which could actually take into the next council period where there's no guarantee it's going to happen, we should do what we can now. It's not rocket science to actually design a splash pad. It's expert work. That's what they do. And we're only going to have somebody think we're only second guess what they're going to get up to with design. And I just think that we can do it a whole lot better by doing it that way and save our ratepayers a lot of money.
Thank you. Question from Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Worship. Having seconded the motion, I've just noticed something that may potentially be missing, or maybe I'm missing something. In the minutes, or at the Infrastructure Committee last week, we discussed this item for quite a lengthy period.
The last two committee meetings, actually.
Indeed. And within that, there was the consideration of the splash pad and a water play structure and plant upgrade. Within the actual motion that we've just moved, that's not mentioned. Is there a reason for that?
I think that's... Well, I'll ask Ms Dixon to respond. I think it's sort of assumed. But no, it's a good question, Ms Dixon.
Through the Chair, that will be the topic of the further reports. It will be brought back to Council for consideration. So in Resolution 4, further reports will be brought back around the other components detailed in the report. So the resolution that Council is passing tonight under 2 is preparation of the design for the foyer upgrade and the facade of the outdoor pool, the new shade structures, design for the barbecue and picnic area, and also the change room upgrade. The rest of the remaining components will come back to Council in further reports.
So it's a sequencing issue. Okay. No one really spoke against. Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, I just have a question about the how realistic it is that we put this into the 17-18 budget. Is it realistic to expect that we're going to do this work and expend that money before the end of the financial year. I mean, there's a bear in mind there's an open season for the swimming pool, and we're unlikely to do much through that open season. So I guess that's kind of my question to the administration.
Through the Chair, yes, the works that we're asking for endorsement tonight can be done in the next financial year, and that's why we're also saying that we'll bring further reports back, because it will need to be, the complete works will need to be staged to minimise any disruptions to the, you know, the swimming season.
Well, is it the case that staff are planning for none of the work to be done during the season the pool's actually open?
Yep. Through the Chair, yes. So there won't be works that will disrupt the season.
Yep. Excellent. Well, no one really spoke against, so shall we just put that to the vote? All in favour? All against? It's carried by majority. Thank you. Now, the next three items could be moved en bloc, I suspect. Reports from three committees. Of course, you can speak on any aspect of any of them if you need to. Someone to move? Councillor Hutchinson, seconded. Councillor Pfeiffer. Anyone speaking against? Personal explanation, Councillor Hull.
In terms of the Infrastructure Committee, I just want to make it very clear that the question asked about the expenditure of funds in a given budget year on any item. The question was, would the withholding of the spending of the funds later in the financial year impact on the carryover problem that the council has? That was the context of the questioning. It was the context of the agenda item. So I just want to make that very clear, that that this has to be looked at in context as not leaving any stones unturned in terms of addressing the carryover issue.
Councillor Hull, I think what you're really getting into a matter of debate rather than a personal explanation.
It was just to make it clear that the context of the question was in relation to the carryovers and nothing else.
All right, thanks. I'll put the motion then, those three committee reports. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we come to some confidential items, which is inconvenient from the point of view of asking people to leave the room, but at least it means that we can deal with some of these important issues while we're fresh rather than at 9:30 when people are going to sleep. So the first being in relation to confidential minutes of the Review and Selection Committee meeting. Would someone like to first move the motion regarding confidentiality? Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So I'd have to ask all of the people not named in the motion to leave the room, please.
I'd be happy to move the motion that the report be noted, and then point two, note the recommendations. Does that sound reasonable?
If the recommendations are going to be acted on, then you would need to use the word endorse in the motion.
Your suggestion?
Well, you could leave paragraph 2 as it is, if that's what you wish to do.
All right, I'm happy with that.
All right. Okay. Did you wish to speak to it?
No, thank you.
Anyone seconding? I'm just calling for a seconder. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak to it?
We have been through a whole range of processes to do with this. It is complex, and there are different viewpoints. However, I believe noting it and understanding that we do move forward is important. And we also note in number two that the process steps need to be quite clear to all of us.
Just got a couple of questions, Your Honour. I'm concerned that this resolution doesn't note some of the points you made earlier. Also, brings up the question in point A, that a report is brought back to council collating all the feedback for a final determination on the removal or otherwise of the playground on Resolute Crescent. Again, we're back to the same position as we moved a resolution to remove 11 playgrounds. Is this a rescission motion on that decision then? It still leads us into a grey area, I believe. I wonder if you could advise on that.
If the decision was to be varied or rescinded, then it would need to obviously be a rescission motion. However, if the decision was to adhere to the original decision, then no other action would be taken. The idea is the report should come back and all the information reassessed, and then a decision to either keep that original motion or change it would be the action.
The suggestion is that we're not rescinding the endorsement of removal yet, but this motion calls for a report to come back. If at that stage we don't go ahead with removal, then we would need to rescind the endorsement to remove.
Okay, that's my first question. The second one is that we're asking council to undertake actions consistent with council resolutions. Is that not a legal requirement of administration?
Yeah, Mr. Waits?
It is, but I guess the confusion a bit in here was there is a requirement to consult in accordance with the 2009 council decision, and then another decision to remove without consult. So there's conflicting council resolutions, and that's what made it difficult.
The 2009, open space strategy, which required consultation in relation to all reserves every year. There's a question mark about that, whether it was actually kept to in any event. Can someone answer that question? Since 2009, were we consulting the community every year about every reserve? We've got Ms. Cladderham coming up. In at least a couple of places in that 2009 strategy, it says, for example, quote from bottom of page 3, community consultation will be required on a site-by-site basis each year to ensure that the local community needs are considered with regard to either equipment upgrades or potential removals. The consultation level will be determined with consideration to the reserve classification. A consultation and communication plan would be developed each year and will require ongoing review. The question is, did that occur?
Through the chair, each site that has been upgraded or involved proposed removal has been consulted on.
So where does this leave us? Councillor Crossland, had you finished your question?
Then the third question is, we've got another point here which says the report will come back regarding the programme policy service levels. Well, that's already happening in another resolution. It's duplication. To be honest, most of these things, other than point F, are really telling staff that they have to do what they're supposed to do. If they're not going to do it, then why put it in another resolution? It just seems meaningless. It leaves us back in a grey area, and I think the decision needs to be made during this meeting is when we endorse to remove 11 play spaces in black and white, does that mean we're going to remove 11 play spaces?
Clearly, according to staff action, the answer is no. So we can have a black and white resolution to do something and it will not necessarily be done. Quite clearly from the history of the matter, staff came into the meeting on 27th of September recommending that there be consultation before any removals of playgrounds took place. That was the position expressed at the meeting to councillors, to say that even if the wording was that we endorsed the removal of 11 play spaces, that consultation would occur. And after the meeting, then consultation did take place on the assumption that removal would not necessarily occur. In other words, it was always assumed by staff, no matter what council decided, that there would be consultation before any removal. The interesting thing, which I haven't got to the bottom of, and which the report simply doesn't address, is the fact that the words endorse the removal of 11 play spaces were prepared before the meeting. It wasn't something done on the run during the meeting. So Ms. Dixon, after having consulted with certain members, had passed that wording on to Ms. Thwaites, and it was therefore up on the screen for us, and Councillor Telfer moved the motion. But that's all I've been able to ascertain. But it's intriguing because it suggests that it wasn't an impromptu decision to override the consultation requirement, but that there was some deliberation about it prior to the meeting. The other thing that I'd point out is that even if we have a consultation policy, it is absolutely within the jurisdiction and power of the council to say, in this case, we will not consult. And you can imagine, the easiest case would be if there was an emergency to remove a playground that was collapsing because of weather conditions or equipment metal failure or something or other. We wouldn't go through a two-week consultation process. We'd be out there the very next hour to remove it. So quite clearly, council has the power to override that consultation. Now, on the face of it, that's what we did on the 27th of September. But it was not understood as such by staff. The report, if you read between the lines, you'll get that meaning. But I may be going too far. I'd invite staff to respond to that because there may be a different point of view, to be fair.
Through the chair, I think through this review, there's learnings around the writing of resolutions and being clear with that. From administration's perspective, we were also following the process that was outlined in the report in Appendix 4, which talked about that we would go out to consultation around the removal. This was a process that we'd used previously as well with play space removals. And we sent out the material, worked with the ward councillors in undertaking that consultation, and then provided that feedback at a ward briefing. In that process, and which was outlined in Appendix 4, it indicated if the feedback the community wasn't, I think the word was contentious or issues. If there weren't any issues, then the removal would proceed. If there were issues, we would bring that back to council. And I think that's where the learning from here is. How do you interpret what is an issue and what should be brought back to council?
Well, I thank Ms Dixon for that contribution because it just reinforces the need for clarity in our reports and our motions. So words like issues create issues. And when I say they create issues, I mean they create problems, because that's really what we're talking about. Councillor Crossan?
Can I just clarify, because I thought the wording creates issues is in a new policy that's not yet being adopted by council. Are you saying that the word raises issues was in the 2009 policy, which is the one we're working to still?
I think we'll find that it was part of the, as management said, it was in the appendix to the play space strategy review, which was adopted in principle, I think, but not actually adopted. So it didn't have effect. One could only say that when we passed the motion endorsing removal, that the 2009 policy was operative. But I'd like to hear from staff about that as well.
Well, my view is at the moment, if staff could clarify, we are still operating under the 2009 policy because no other policy has been agreed yet.
Through the chair, we were working under the process outlined in Appendix 4 to the report, which indicated if there were major issues, it would be brought back to council. If there weren't major issues, we would proceed with removal. It was a process, and I think this is what the review has indicated. There wasn't clarity, and there needed to be improved resolutions and clarity of the process.
Well, I think if I'm correct, is what happened is you were seeking approval for the new policy, but in the end, council chose not to adopt that new policy.
That's correct.
And just said it affirms in principle, subject to further debate at a forum and consideration, which meant council was not adopting that new policy. It was quite black and white. So for staff then to operate on the assumption that their wording had all but already been adopted and we were using a policy that hadn't been approved by council is completely wrong.
Yes, it rather looks like staff were acting on the basis of their recommendations to council, which were not passed, rather than the motion which was actually passed by council on 27th September.
That's correct.
But again, I'd ask, you know, when I make these reflections, I'm inviting comment from staff, you know, to be fair.
I think the only comment you can make is I think there's significant learnings in this review to be clear on the process and that the resolutions to be clear so there's no misinterpretation of what council is requesting administration to do and that we can fulfil the direction that you give us.
Councillor Hull?
The question, putting aside all of this administrative learning, Resolute Court, excuse me, I'd like to get the full bottle on this. Resolute Court itself was the subject of a petition and deputation, I remember. So what is the status officially of the playground at Resolute Court?
No decision has been taken, and it would come back to a subsequent council meeting for decision, including all consultation feedback. Is that right? That's right. I suppose the question is, to what extent do councillors want any of this discussion minuted in addition to the motion, if at all? Otherwise, we'll just deal with it as it is, and you know, people can learn from it accordingly.
Can I move an amendment, please, Your Worship?
Yes, Councillor Crossan.
Point one, as printed, can stay. Notes the report. Point two can just be endorse. Notes the recommendations of the panel from the 270 review. And I think point three should be notes that staff were operating under a draft policy and not the current 2009 policy. Notes that no clarification was sought regarding the meaning of endorse the removal of 11 play spaces, either during council meeting or subsequently. And then if you could repeat point F, the manager governance paragraph, please. And everything else can go from the recommendation that was originally printed. Just another suggestion, I don't know if Ms. Waits can help, when we've put the reference to notes that no clarification was sought regarding the meaning of endorsement of the removal of 11 play spaces, can we put in there the as per the which meeting that came from?
27 September.
So it just gives some reference point back to when that occurred.
Councillor Crossland, I'll just point out that at that meeting, in fact, you asked, does this mean there'll be consultation, even if we pass the motion?
Correct.
And Ms. Cladderham said, yes, there will.
I'm happy with that. I recall, and I haven't got the transcript in front of me, that we seem to consult on policies. We then consult on administration of those policies, and then we consult again. And I may be incorrect, but I thought that was also questioned during that meeting. The ultimate, and I also questioned whether we're removing play spaces that had not yet reached the end of their useful life, which I think is important. The matter of the end result is I didn't formulate the actual resolution that was passed, but I was happy with the decision of council to remove forthwith, in my view, the 11 play spaces without any other consultation, because it was in keeping with the 2009 policy.
Just making a suggestion, we say notes that no clarification was sought. Would you like to put after the meeting?
During the meeting or after the meeting?
Well, I'm suggesting to you that you leave it as after the meeting.
After the meeting, okay.
Because
we'll sort after the meeting.
Honestly, in my view, in the cool, calm reflection of daytime, the contrast between the resolution passed and what staff thought should happen needed to be reconciled, and that didn't occur. Well, in a sense, it occurred by making a forced interpretation of the council resolution. But I think that's more accurate. Councillor Scull? Mr. Scull.
What am I saying? Good motion.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to make a point of clarification. That night, the council actually deferred the draft policy. So I don't think it's accurate from my point of view, and I'm certainly not trying to defend anything up here, but I think it needs to be said that the we were still operating, we had to be operating under the 2009 policy because consideration of the new policy was deferred by council that night in a separate report to this. So,
well, the only problem, Mr. Scull, is that just tonight we've been told that staff were acting according to the model set out in the Appendix 1 to the 27th September report, and that was affirmed in principle but was not passed by resolution. That's the problem.
Just for further point of clarification, and as I said before, I think there's significant learnings in this whole process, but I think also staff were working after the meeting and after that resolution was passed. Staff did work through the ward briefings on the approach, so there was clarity that they were going to undertake that consultation. As we do with members when we're undertaking that consultation, we sent out the material prior to undertaking the consultation. So I think there wasn't clarity around the resolution or the process for both administration and elected members, and I think that's the learning, and that's the opportunity for improvement too, is to get clear processes.
Well, that sort of invites comment from the Mayor as well on behalf of all elected members, because it is true, as Ms. Dixon points out, that this tension between what was resolved and what was actually then done in practice, because staff thought that should be the practice, that tension wasn't reconciled by elected members. But the point is, it should have been reconciled by staff primarily. Yes, we all share a responsibility, but there's at the very core of what we do in making decisions for the community is the principle that staff carry out resolutions of council. So if there was any sense that there was any reconciliation to be done, it needed to be brought back to council by staff, in my submission. Anyway, we've had to have fairly flexible chairing of this session because it is very, very important and there are multiple permutations. So I'm happy to hear from either staff or elected members on any refinement before we go ahead with the amendment. I'll come back to you, Councillor Gard. I'm being flexible here, because as soon as we have a seconder, we'll put it to a vote. I'm just wondering if anyone has any more points before we do that. Councillor Blescu?
Look, I think it's still pretty unclear. I don't know the situation. I actually think people need to step out of this meeting and actually get to the bottom of it. The councillors and the staff just talk it all out and then come back with a resolution. I think once we find out what went on, what could be improved, then we decide whether we proceed or not, because I know members of the public are hoping for the opportunity later on to revise this decision. But I really think we need to have that discussion, because I don't know the situation. I feel that there are some elected members here who are disappointed with what went on. I pick up from the body language from staff that perhaps they were under a different impression when comments are made. I think we really need to talk it out and find out what happened before we proceed any further, because I think...
Councillor Blescu, I'll tell you what I'll do. Once we clarify what the amendment should be, I'll call on Councillor Gard, who wishes to second it, and then I'll come back to you if you wish to move that the motion be adjourned.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
First of all, Councillor Hull, briefly.
I'll keep it brief. Members, I've seen a number of 270 reviews over the years for a variety of things, and my blunt observation of those 270 reviews is one of a navel-gazing exercise, and even if there was things that could have been done better, there was no finding of things they could do better. It was a flat bat, and problem what problem. Was pretty much with this one, given that I fully understand where Councillor Croslin and the Mayor, for that matter, is coming from, there is some strong reference to being able to do things better. And it's a refreshing statement from the administration that they've done a review and they can see things can be done better. That's not my experience of the past with 270 reviews, I've got to say.
Well, Councillor Hull, I'll cut you off there because you have spoken before on the motion. You don't actually have a right to speak, but you've made a good positive point, and I appreciate that. I now go to Councillor Westwood. You wanted to suggest some different wording, did you?
In actual fact, he read my mind almost. Councillor Costlin want to include in his motion the call for a report to be prepared? I think that would be advisable at this stage, as well as all the points you have.
I'm not 100% sure that's going to lead anywhere. I think staff have had this under review, investigation and a report for many months, and this is the final report that they've produced.
I think Councillor Westwood is talking about a report on whether or not to remove Resolute Crescent Reserve Playground. Is that right?
That would be the effect of it, but because we have nothing or not much to go on now, I believe that the recommendation there to have a report prepared is paving the way to try to resolve the issue, which is very mucky, I must say.
Well, can I just ask staff if the requirement for a report to be prepared and come back to council about the removal of playground is not included in our resolutions tonight, what is the staff interpretation? Is it then simply acting on the 27th of September resolution, or what? Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, I think for clarity, it would be best to have a resolution requesting a report be brought back regarding the playground.
Is that regarding one playground or 11 playgrounds?
The one.
What's happened to the other 10, by the way? I mean, have they been removed?
Through the chair, not all 10 have been removed. They're in a works program, but the works program is planned to come back, which will have those removals listed as part of the playground framework.
Have any been removed, those 11?
Yes.
Up to you, Councillor Crossland, what you want to do.
Look, let's go for the report on Resolute Crescent. I don't see anything different to the other 11, but I'll accept the suggestion by Councillor Westwood that we have a report to reconsider Resolute Crescent Playground.
Right, so paragraph 2A, what was 2A, we'll come back into it. And that's fine because it hasn't been seconded yet, so we're still formulating that motion. And we'll just make sure that it's up on the screen somewhere. All right, it just needs numbering. So it's seconded, Councillor Gard. Did you wish to speak to the amendment, Councillor Gard?
For the records, Councillor Crossan and I did have some discussion about this item today, and the discussion centred on process, and we felt that it was possibly a landmark item in a way, because there have been a lot of comings and goings. And it's taken us a couple of years, I suppose, to settle in as a new set of elected members, and we are different to our predecessor entity, and hence there are gear changes. And I think probably in this sense It's a clarification of the expectations of elected members for things to be taken literally in the sense of process. So it's ideal because this one is a particular case that is important to get right. So that's the substance of my seconding the motion. And I do commend it to all.
I put the amendment. All those in favour, raise their hand. All those against, raise your hand. The vote is tied. I think I've made my views known. I cast my vote in favour of the affirmative to the amendment. The amendment is carried. I now go back to Councillor Bilescu.
Your Worship, I would like to move an adjournment to provide the opportunity for a little bit more discussion on this, if people feel appropriate, between the elected members and staff, just to have a bit more clarity on the processes and what people thought. I say that because it does make some assumptions. I'm not 100% comfortable with those assumptions without having that discussion. So,
to the first meeting in June?
Yeah, to the first meeting in June. But I wouldn't mind some comment from staff on that if they're happy to proceed on this. No need to waste time, but I guess that sort of... It just feels like that there's two views and I'd like that clarified.
Ms Dixon or Mr Scull?
Thank you, Chair. My feeling is that we need to get on with it. There's been plenty of discussion. The resolution didn't actually match some of the discussion in that meeting, and that we need to actually make sure in the future that we get it right. I think the administration would prefer to get on with the job and the business at hand.
Happy to withdraw that.
Right. Well, if there is anyone who hasn't spoken, you have an opportunity before we put the motion as amended to the vote. There being no one else, I put the motion as amended to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. Thank you. And we move on to the next item. The draft annual business plan for public consultation. I can tell members that the only aspect where I had sought a bit more clarity from staff was in relation to employment numbers, and possibly that could even go a step further, but essentially it's a pretty good document, and I only sort of wish these things could be shorter. Perhaps I could ask that as a question of Mr. Mifsud. There are so many different components to what's in this document. Do they all need to be there?
Thank you, Mayor Hannah. We'll certainly look at opportunities to reduce the volume of this document moving forward. I will highlight that going back about 7 or 8 years ago, there was two documents, both of which were nearly 100 pages each. So we absolutely take on board your feedback. But it has been enormously reduced over the past 7 years.
Well, I'm happy to pay a compliment to staff if they've boiled it down that much. Of course, all I have in mind is the fact that members of the public might actually look at it and feel that they're comfortable reading it. The bigger it is, the more daunting it is. But anyway, Councillor Hull? Yes, yeah. Question?
On page 96, there's a graph indicating our current spot in the pecking order for the average residential rate. Given what the TomToms are saying around Greater Adelaide, where do you perceive, Mr. Mifsud, that we would be this time next year?
Mr. Mifsud?
If I can, through the Chair, Councillor Hull, just refer that to Mr. Barmore. He's got that information at his fingertips. He'll be happy to share that with you straight away.
Mr. Barnwell.
To the Chair, I expect we will be in a similar position than other councils that I'm aware of. I don't have the full public documents, but I'm aware were actually probably slightly below most of the councils, the metro councils, like Charles Stewart, Mitcham. I think Mitcham are looking around 2.9, 2.5 for West Torrens. So I think we're probably on the lower end of the increases that are going around, from what I'm aware of. So I think we'll be, if not in a similar position, if not lower, but we'd have to probably track a bit lower to drop below Charles Stewart.
Just before I go to Councillor Gard, who has a question, I think, I'll just let you know I did have representations, I suppose a bit of preliminary public feedback from a former councillor who met with me today, and his view was that we should cut the rates completely by 20%, and I explained that that would probably mean cutting something like $10 million from the budget, and we might have difficulties with that without cutting services. But anyway, he was letting me know how he'd done it in private enterprise and everything. Anyway, Councillor Gard.
Yeah, just briefly, Your Worship, on page 101, there's my old favourite of improvements in the amenity of our streetscapes, and it's alluding to what we were talking about earlier, common language, and I wonder if we could possibly revisit that and make it clearer as to what the word streetscapes encapsulates, because in our internal talk or speak, we have two categories, streetscaping and treescaping, which are quite separate budgets. So I just feel we need to perhaps even talk about greening as a, you know, a common usage word. Streetscaping is only half of it, in my view.
It's sort of a branch of streetscaping, yes. Very well, Councillor Crossland.
Just a question for Mr. Misford, if I may. I still have a few concerns with this average residential rate being in there. Is that something which appears in other councils' reports?
Mr. Barnum.
It doesn't have to be in there, put it that way. So some councils may choose to put it in, some may not. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in there.
I reckon if you're in the bottom five, you put it in there.
Yeah, I just think it's a little bit misleading. I mean, I just wonder where we'd look if we looked at, say, in Adelaide, the average house price, $430, $450, and then put that table together with where we would fit. That would probably be a more realistic comparison of what rates they are, or put both in as an extra line.
I remember we did have a very illuminating planning session when we discussed the relationship between the rate figure in the dollar as compared to the percentage of house value. And Councillor Crossland, you're aware of the difficulties of what we can do in reducing the rate in the dollar, given the range of property values in the council area. We're a victim of circumstance in that sense.
Yeah, I am aware of that, but we still hear people say that, you know, Marion's an expensive place to live when they've sold one house and they buy another of similar value. So, yeah, I just wonder if that is a more true reflection of what ratepayers are actually experiencing.
Okay, well, are you happy for this to go out to consultation as it is and to incorporate those? In fact, all councillors have an obligation, really, during the consultation period to get back to staff saying, do this, do that, and then, if need be, we can put those. In fact, I think we should probably discuss those openly, whether things are added or not, when it comes back after consultation, if people are happy with that approach. Maybe we could just move as printed. We have a mover. Councillor Gard, thank you. Seconded. Councillor Telfer. No one against. Good points have been made. I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's all those against. That's carried by majority. Thank you. and hope we're flooded with feedback. On page 126, the inclusive playground, Henry Street Reserve, we don't have the cash what we thought we was going to have. There are four options presented in the report. Councillor Crossland. Did you have a question, Councillor Blessing?
No, I wanted to move the motion. I had my hand up.
Oh, well, I was...
In my ward.
Councillor Crossland had expressed a view that he wanted to move an option prior to the meeting, so I've gone with that.
I guess on that, just when there is an item in your ward that we have had working on, I think it's probably best to go to the ward councillors on the issue, or I haven't had any discussion with Councillor Crossland on this, so I don't know what it would be.
Your Worship, I will let Councillor Valesco move the motion, and I can always look at an amendment.
Sure. Okay, Councillor Valesco, away you go.
Yeah, I've just got to come up. Essentially, I'd look at endorsing option one. However, I would like to put in part three, after the words City of Marion, capped to a total of up to between Marion and 310K. Essentially capping our contribution to this to a total, up to a total of 310. So,
Councillor Blesky, just for a matter of clarity, paragraph 3 is a factual statement, the current funding committed, and it says that City of Marion has a current 310K committed. That's factually true because I think we've budgeted for that. So it might be that you want to do something, but maybe that's not where to do it.
Okay, fair enough. I'm happy to add something in. I could probably... it's got the somewhere along the line putting in that additional resolution adding which caps council capital contribution towards the project at a maximum of 310,000.
Now I ask for clarification, do you mean the stage one of the project or stage one and two combined?
I would say stage one and two combined. I do, once, if there is extra money from external sources, that'll come to council. We may have a small cost in administering that, but I think our total contribution should be what we thought it was, and that's why I'd like to cap it at that level. Happy if someone wants to suspend standing orders and talk about it further.
Councillor Crossland.
Sorry, Worship, I think that would be a good idea if we could suspend standing orders so we could have an open discussion on these options.
Well, really, Councillor Valescu had the call. You were the one who raised it, so I think you've moved that standing orders be suspended, and Councillor Crossland seconded it, just to get that right, because I don't want you to lose your speaking rights either, and I'll come back to you after the suspension.
Thank you, Your Worship, and thank you, Councillor Crossland.
So, did you want assistance in achieving your objective, Councillor Valescu, from staff?
Your Worship, my objective is, and I think it reflects some of the concerns that people have had about this project, is that unfortunately we weren't able to get the external funding to the level we thought. We want to be able to deliver the project without having to incur an extra cost which we thought would be covered. And, you know, it is a charity. There was issues. They weren't able to get the money at this point. It leaves the door open for the charity to continue their work to fund the extra elements of the project at a later date. But it's really about making sure that we're not footing the extra bill just because what was expected when we went into it was not achievable. And I just want to get people's views on that, and hopefully we can come to a consensus.
Well, Councillor Vlescu, since you've raised it, I wasn't going to go there, to be honest, but if you want to, a conflict situation, we can go there. The fact is we've been badly let down by Touched by Olivia Foundation. We have a memorandum of understanding with them saying that they're going to contribute several hundred thousand dollars more than they actually are. So that's why we're in this difficult situation at the moment, discussing options. And what disturbs me about the motion is that the motion commits council to a finished product, a design and implementation without the funds attached to it. Now, that seems to be unlike anything that we've dealt with the last 2.5 years.
I was under the impression, and I could be wrong, and I just wanted to clarify, and that's when I had the discussion, because I know people feel quite strongly about it, and rightly so, that what happens if we're not able to get that extra money? And, you know, you've got, you've got the playground, you've got the functional, but then some of the landscaping and other treatments will not be able to be delivered.
That's my point. How do things stand from a governance point of view if we have a resolution saying we are going to build something and yet we are capping our funding commitment to ensure that we will not be building it? We're saying we're going to do something which we are binding ourselves not to do. That's the problem. I understand the intention. You're hoping that money will arrive later on, but that's why I prefer option 4, because it says we've got the money for option 1, let's finish option 1. If we get more funding from other sources, we can build bits onto it. That's why I think it's more appropriate from a governance point of view. I would like to hear from Governance Manager Ms. Thwaites and also from our Finance Manager, Mr. Mifsud, on the appropriateness of those two options. And Ms. Dixon, feel free.
Through the Chair, the recommendations set out in the report aim to allow Council to keep some options if you were able to secure additional funding through that process. On page 132 of the report, it notes that we would come back to Council in May 2018 should no further funding be secured, and at that stage one of the options that would be available to Council is to conclude the project with the works undertaken and undertake no further works, because at that point there would be clarity that the likelihood of securing any additional funds would no longer exist.
So this sounds like Resolute Crescent Reserve all over again. Recommendation number 1, endorsing option 1. Well, that is stages 1 and 2, as Councillor Vlescu rightly pointed out. So we're endorsing to proceed with the final design of stage 2, but we're not committing funding to it. That's my problem from a governance point of view. Ms. Thwaites, what do you say?
Worship, can I ask something based on your comment? Was Ms. White? Okay.
Through the Chair, I'll, if you don't mind, Mayor Hannah, respond to that. I think the way to, because you're quite right, you want to make sure that there's appropriate probity from a governance point of view, is if we're going to head down a particular path where there's an element of uncertainty, and clearly there is, you'd want to make sure that the resolution that Council supports provides absolute clarity as to what limit of funding there is, and that should the funding that's being sought from the partner, being touched by Olivia, is unable to come to fruition, then the scope of the works would have to be limited to the funding that Council's prepared to commit to, and then that would give you the security that you're looking for from a governance point of view.
Anything from Ms. Thwaites? Or no, not really. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to thank the staff for taking the time to invite elected members to a briefing only last week. It was last week.
unfortunately, I was the only one that fronted up, and I found that quite valuable to ascertain where we're really at. There's a couple of points I'd like to make that I don't think Touched by Olivia set out to actually mislead the council or con us in any way. I think there's a couple of issues with Touched by Olivia. There's the tyranny of distance. They are based on the eastern states. Their plans for ambassadors and the like haven't really worked out as well as they would like. The promotion of what they want to do hasn't really panned out how they really would have liked. And it concerns me that the tone coming from the city of Marion now might not be conducive with getting the best out of Touched by Olivia. And I'll make two strong points. Touched by Olivia are a humble, generous, benevolent organisation that only mean to do good across Australia. I think we need to keep that in mind. This is not a multinational or a body corporate coming to us with their hand out. The other thing is that within the city of Marion, think about this, guys. How many playgrounds do we know? We're talking about playgrounds earlier tonight. How many playgrounds do we know that have actually had even the skerrick of disabled access to those playgrounds? How many? And we're quibbling over this, where we want to actually put one decent playground in for these poor buggers?
Councillor Hull, we're not talking about the principle at the moment because it's already been established. Everybody agrees with the principle. We've suspended standing orders so that we can formulate an appropriate motion. So if you just try keep to that,
please. We're talking about capping, Mr Mayor, and I don't think we should be in the business of capping and sending a message, well, if you're not going to give us the money, we'll bugger off. Because that's how it looks.
So I appreciate you're probably endorsing option one as printed. That's quite legitimate. I have a different view, but and it's because of these governance concerns, apart from the dealings I've had with Touched by Olivia Foundation. I'll go back to Councillor Blescu. Did you want to chip in light of those comments?
Thank you, Worship. I was going to go for option four. It delivers the playground. I don't think there's any of us around this room that don't want as much of that playground delivered as we can. The only difference between option one and option four is that we deliver stage one. It's fully funded. We've got the cash there. We get the money for Touched by Olivia. And then option four says we put in a holding point. We don't pay more staff resources. We don't add the whole maintenance costs for the whole play space into our long-term financial plan. We just put in the bit that's built. And I'll get someone to step in if I'm incorrect. But we still explore opportunities to deliver stage two or stage three, however many stages it takes to get there. But why would we pay staff resources and put money into the long-term financial plan for the maintenance for the whole thing when we can just deliver the playground we can and then look for opportunities and continue? So we're all aiming at the same end result. It's just which is the best way for Touched by Olivia and for ourselves to get there without affecting anyone's reputation. So I think we're all agreed we'd like to get to the full playground. It's just the methodology and how we get there. And do we need staff paid on standby just in case we get some more money?
That's right. I mean, option four allows Touched by Olivia to over time, keep their promise. Up to this point, they have not kept to the memorandum of understanding. So if you want to criticise anyone for that, Councillor Hull, that's the fact. They promised in writing, they didn't deliver. But option four gives them the opportunity to do that. They can come back to us next year with $280,000, the rest of the money that was promised, and I don't know, but I suspect very, very strongly, that there'd be unanimous support to then go on to build stage two. It's the governance point where I have a great difficulty promising we're going to build something when we're not committing a dollar of funding to it. Anyway, any other contributions? Or Councillor Valescu?
Clarify from staff I think essentially you want the same thing, and it's just a little bit on the process. So here in option four, it says touch by Livio and DP Dip Thai partnership will conclude with a proposed funding agreement, no further funding opportunities pursued. And then in option one, ongoing partnership with touch by Livio until the project is completed. So it looks like to me that option four ends the relationship with touch by Livio, but I do understand the concerns that yourself through the chair you would have and other people would have, where how much are we leaving the door open? And so I really think that's the nuance that we need to look at, because I think essentially we're all pretty much on the same page. I guess I'm leaving it up to staff or other people to find that way forward, because I think, you know, as far as proceeding later on, that's the option, unless there's people that may want us to just kick in more money and do it, which is a view that others may have. So some direction from staff on that one, Your Worship?
Sure. Just to clarify what I'm saying on that, option four might end the formal relationship. I think that has to happen, because what was in the MOU, it ain't happening. It's not real. But that does not in any way close the door to continuing discussions, to Touched by Olivia Foundation knocking on our door, providing funds so that we can complete the work. Option one talks about, you know, maintaining the relationship, which means that for as long as they're not paying, our public position is that they owe us money because they promised it in the memorandum of understanding. I don't think that's a healthy way to proceed, but I'd ask for staff comment on that.
Through the chair, so if council endorses option four, what that will mean is only stage one works would be delivered, and that would close off the options of securing additional funding from Touched by Olivia or from Dip Thai as well, any additional funding.
Sorry, can I just ask for clarification? How would it close off additional funding?
Through the chair, that's outlined in option four in terms of the proposed approach for option four.
Yeah, but it's not saying we refuse any more money. It's just saying we're going to build with what we have, and, you know, if they come up with further money, we come back.
Through the chair, that's not the intention of option four as outlined in the report. Option one does present that opportunity to pursue further funding through TBOF and other funding partners.
But, I mean, we can always do that. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But, I don't know, can you explain that any better? Why we couldn't then go off next year and or during the state election and or at any time ask Touched by Olivia for more funding if we wish to?
Through the chair, that is what is proposed in option one.
We interpret that option one differently. This is Resolute Crescent Reserve all over again.
Your Worship, is the point of conjecture that because we are going to do design works for part two, meaning that we have the expectation for delivery, is that the concern?
They're already done.
Okay.
I mean, they're already done. One and two are already done. We've already sunk that money into it. The question is whether we want to approve something for which we have no funding.
I believe...
Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, I just want to draw council's attention to the seventh resolution in the report, because I think that's where, and obviously it's not coming across as clearly, but that's where we're saying that any further stage work happens subject to council securing additional funding from external sources.
And I'm just saying that's inconsistent with paragraph one.
Okay.
Councillor Pryor?
Has anybody actually talked to Touched by Olivia Foundation and said, look, we're at this stage, this is the money we've got, what should we do? I mean, it seems like a pretty obvious direction at the moment.
What's the latest from staff on that?
Look, through the chair, conversations continue with the Touched by Olivia as to their fundraising progress. They have been looking to find funding. It has been slow. As attached in the report, they have been seeking some federal and state funding opportunities and lobbying in that area. So there have been ongoing discussions, but the funding that is coming in is quite slow.
Councillor Pryor, continue.
Yeah, okay. So the next question is, if we gave them a line in the sand and said, July 2017, we'd like to start work on this, what do you think we should do? Should we hold out for more funding? Should we build a single stage? Should we...
Councillor Pryor, in a sense, we've already done that. So the point we're discussing, we were actually several months ago, and then it was delayed, and the state government funding commitment was extended to the end of this year to allow further fundraising. So we've done that process once, but you're right, we could do it any number of times, I guess.
And so what...
Ms Cladderham just wants to respond.
Through the chair, that's correct. Effectively, a report was brought to the council in December, and that outlined that we needed to draw the line in the sand. We are mindful. We actually have a funding commitment with DIPTI that needs to be delivered on by December 2017, which means that we do need to start construction in July, August to deliver on the construction of the playground and the toilet, which is in their funding agreement.
And so surely if we're pushed into this situation, we can talk to Touched by Olivia and say, we have to go ahead. What would you guys like us to do? I mean, would you like us to just build stage one and then we'll look at stage two in the future? Or would you like us to, you know, do you think you're going to be able to raise the funds? And would you like to draft another MOU?
From the conversations I've had, Councillor Pryor, I'm fairly confident of what the answer would be, which would be, we want you to commit to stages one and two, and we can't provide additional funds at this time, but we'll work on it in the fullness of time. Mr Scholes giving his assent to that prediction. Councillor Gard, then Councillor Telfer.
Yes, again, we do have an item that is open to interpretation in its various parts. The paragraph 7 leaves the gate open for future development, but if we go option 1, we're committing staff employment funds in the design phase for all of these, so we have to be, in a sense, pushing governance requirements to do what is not necessarily going to be easy in the long run, and that is to deliver the whole project. So it would seem to me that it's the fourth option that may need a little bit more wording to express that point, to remove the idea that we're shutting the gate completely on future funding with Touched by Olivia. I think option 1 is most definitely inappropriate from discussion tonight. Option 7, point 7 at the opening of the item is okay. It's what we want. So what we really need is for option 4 to express how we would get to option 7. And so it needs some additional words on what we do with Touched by Olivia.
Let's work with that. Councillor Telfer.
Councillor Gard's where I am at. I was thinking in option 4, immediately develop playground to a reduced scope of works reflecting current funding in stage 1 works subject to tender process, and then work towards funding and stage 2 works as soon as possible, or something like that, that gives it that opportunity for the funding and then the stage 2 works.
I think option 4 could easily have a paragraph 7, which just indicating that openness to further dialogue and funding. in respect of stage two. So I can formulate that pretty easily if that's the way people are heading. Councillor Crossland.
Just a question again for staff for clarification. Option one and option four achieve the same outcome. We get something built before we lose the funding. Can we just have an explanation of why option one has a higher resource funding and staff resources than option four, and why option one has a more maintenance in the budget than option four? If it's we're building the same thing, I don't quite work that out.
Yeah, through the chair. In relation to your first question around the design, there will be no further staff resourcing time. The design is 97% complete for the full design. In relation to the whole of life costs, the whole of life costs have been outlined with a view that council does prepare for the full implementation over time.
Thank you. It's just that it says ongoing staff resources in option one, but in option four, there's no staff resources required.
In option four, that would be minimal, and as previously advised, the option four, there would be no further implementation of other stages other than stage one works.
So, bearing in mind Councillor Telfer's and Councillor Gard's suggestion, if that was added to option four, what would the difference be other than planning and preparing in advance for stage two that we haven't got funding for?
If I can, I think then that becomes option one, so that we, for all intents and purposes, you still need staff resource to, you know, to prepare and deliver the remainder of the project until completion once you've got the money in from TVOF.
Yeah, but that's my point. We wouldn't need staff resources until we got the money to build stage two, which is really all option four is saying, that we put it on hold until we get extra funding to build and design stage two.
So, if I may cut in there, if I was looking at option four in light of the discussion, I'd add a paragraph seven, we'll receive a report on the feasibility of stage two upon receiving further funding from Touched by Olivia Foundation or any other interested party. I think I need to now resume standing orders. So at the moment we have a motion from... Well, it was with Councillor Bălescu...
Had actually moved.
Yeah, who had actually moved option one, but it hasn't been seconded at this point. So, Councillor Bălescu, it's with you.
I'm happy to take... I think what's happened is there's not very much information in the option that's not recommended, which is four, and I think there's assumptions made, and there's a lot of information on the option that is recommended, and I actually think that's problematic.
It's called steering.
So the issue is the resources. Option four, to some people, comes across as we're just going to do stage one, and then if the money comes in, we'll do the extra bit, but we're not really going to commit to anything because of that. And although here it's quite clearly removing the relationship, so it's unclear, and I don't know if this is another one where we have to send it back. I think people are sick of it. I don't know, but essentially, the problem is really the ongoing staff resource. So you could do option one without the ongoing staff resource to manage the project, or you do option four
where we maintain the door being open for extra funding. The option, how if it is two stages, however, if we say we're looking at a second stage, then we can actually say this is something for which we want funding for. If this is taken that we're just going to do stage one works in option four, it may be that, okay, that's it. There's nothing to get extra funding for. Not so much by Touch by Liver, but maybe other organisations. So if the staff, the resource thing's the problem, we just take that out.
So, Councillor, what are you moving?
Look, I'll look at moving one and taking out the ongoing staff resource to manage through project management. Look, actually, I'm going to move that we adjourn the motion. I think it's too unclear. I'm sorry, everyone. There's not enough information in that second one. I still don't think everyone's clear on it. I think that the best way to go is to move it to the next meeting.
Point of order.
Count?
Yes. Just to clarify, before I get to the point of order, the councillor was going to move a motion, but I think he's withdrawn that and is moving the adjournment. Is that... No, hang on. I haven't recognised anyone else yet. I'm just dealing with Councillor Bilescu's point and clarifying what he's moving.
Look, if for the sake of moving a motion, I'm happy to move with option one, and then that no additional resources required, as opposed to the resource of an ongoing staff to manage further stages of the project. So,
Councillor, you are moving option one.
Option
you're not
one.
Moving an adjournment.
Someone else is moving an adjournment. Yes.
No. I need to know what your motion is, ma'am.
I'll move an adjournment. Yep.
You're not moving option one at this point.
Yep.
You're moving the adjournment.
Yep.
Now I can deal with the point of order from Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, in terms of us losing the DIPTI funding, is that a critical factor in adjourning this motion or not?
Well, it's not a point of order, but it is a critical question. I'll allow it. If we put it off to the first meeting in June, what are the implications for the DIPTI funding?
Thank you, Chair. We've got a commitment with DIPTI to expend the money by December. Any delay in these sort of things which can actually put that funding in jeopardy, and I don't want to enter the debate here, but I...
All right. Was that a point of order or point of... You were moving to adjourn?
No.
Okay. We've got a move to adjourn and we should fix a date. So to the second meeting in May, to the next General Council meeting. Yeah? Is that motion seconded? Seconded by Councillor Pfeiffer. I think I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Division is called on the adjournment. All those in favour, please stand in your place. Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Westwood, Bilescu, Gard and Crossland. Just remain standing a sec. Those opposing, Councillor Pryor, Hull and Appleby, please, you can be seated. I say that the adjournment is carried, so we'll come back next council meeting. And everyone is welcome to put their contributions to staff so that we have a clearer position next time.